This is 89.9 WWNL. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans? Or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for a drama that takes you high above the city. Conversation with a gold medalist from the New Orleans International Piano Competition. Or a magical adventure inside a magician's cave. It's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. The NOLA Project is back with a new production. It's called Exterior Pool Night, a play about a movie set on the roof of a New Orleans hotel in the CBD. You will move around in this theater experience as the story unfolds. Joining me is NOLA Project founding director and writer Andrew Larimer, artistic director A.J. Allegra, and actress Natalie Boyd. Welcome.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for having us.
How did this theater experience come about?
We knew that we wanted to do a show that was another immersive travel experience, and we wanted to do something downtown. So we wanted to create a narrative experience that moved people there and used some interesting locations in the area. And the Aloft Downtown New Orleans, which is the hotel at which we're setting the play, was very excited and had a beautiful pool. We knew that we were doing this show in July, and we were like, a pool is going to be a great place to set this thing. Keep it cool. And then the audience is invited to swim after. So it kind of helps mitigate that New Orleans summer heat.
So let's explain the title. This is an original work that you wrote, Andrew. Exterior Pool Night.
The play takes place on the set of a film. And each scene in a film script begins with interior or exterior, a description of the location, and whether it's filmed at day or night. So exterior, pool, night is the setting. Trying to communicate that this is kind of backstage on a film project. You know, you're seeing behind the scenes on one of these film sets that we've seen so many of filming in downtown New Orleans in the last few years.
What are you exploring?
What we've got is a crew of filmmakers who are working on a new film, and we're dealing with a lot of issues that surround that. The ego involved in creating a work of art, issues of celebrity. One of our actors is playing Shia LaBeouf, interesting issues of celebrity in this former child star turned now performance artist guy. As well as from a formal perspective, we're really exploring the differences between theater and film. We're looking at what theater does well, intimacy and being at an event all together. We're looking at what film does well with a large projected camera feed from the camera that they're using, some special visual effects involved, and the ability to kind of capture these moments. So we're trying to kind of be greedy and have the best of both worlds with theater and film all in one production.
What's the storyline?
There is a screenwriter, Veronica, played by Natalie here. She is the granddaughter of Jonas Salk, the doctor who developed the cure for polio. And she's written a biopic about her amazing grandfather.
She's been working for 8 years to try and get someone to buy anything that she has ever written. And finally, she is at this film festival and this huge, crazy celebrity wants to buy her film. So obviously, she's going to sell it to him and get a bunch of money and hopefully become very famous. So I think that's what she thinks is going to happen. And it's going to be this great experience and everything's going to be awesome. And then she goes to set and it kind of is the opposite of everything she thought it was going to be. So it's a disappointing problem for her. And she doesn't really have a lot of, like, chutzpah inside of her at the start. She's kind of a little shy and awkward and meek. And, you know, it takes a lot of, like, building her up to get her to the point at the end of the play. So it's a very fun arc because I don't normally play very quiet, shy, meek people. That's not usually what I am cast as.
Who else is in the cast?
We've got Alex Martinez-Wallace playing Shia LaBeouf. We have Maggie Blazer, Audrey Wagner, and Alec Barnes. And we've also got some local area students that are also helping us out that are playing the film crew and have really actually taken quite a shine to, operating a real live film set. And those students come from NOCA and Lusher.
It's also billed as a loose rewriting of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
We were attracted to the idea of the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde story, and it's interesting to see how far the evolution has come. We've evolved to a story about the making of a film. It still has the core element of everyone inside of them has a kind of monstrous side that can be let out. And then sometimes in the world of art making and filmmaking, those egos can really do battle between people.
And there's Jonas Salk as this kind of pure, benevolent doctor character that this film is based around, and then how that film kind of gets distorted by people's egos and, you know, different ingredients being thrown in and twisted into this monstrosity, you know, from some perspectives. That's kind of in there as well.
Now, this is an interesting concept because everybody starts out on the rooftop of this hotel, but I understand that the audience has different experiences as they go to different places before they meet back up on top the roof.
When the audience arrives, they'll take a little quiz that asks them about some of their preferences in theater going, and then they will be assigned a ticket for that act two. So act one and act three, we're all together. Act two splits up, and everybody kind of gets a more in-depth character portrait on one of the pairs of actors. So you're not missing anything. You're not unable to follow the story. You just learn about these two people better and kind of get a better sense of what they're going through and what they're thinking about everything at the moment. And then we all come back together. And that idea of people going and splitting up and seeing different tracks, I think, is exciting so that you can then fill each other in afterwards on what you saw in the middle.
So where do they go?
Two of the tracks go down to the streets and take walking paths down around downtown. And then the third track is in a hotel room on the same floor as the pool.
And one of the cool things is that you do a lot of viewing of the show from across the street from the actors. So you get this kind of wide filmic scope to actually watch the play within. As Andrew said, it's really a complete mix of film and theater, because you're also listening to the actors on your own personal headsets that we provide everyone, because the actors are mic'd up. So you get a very intimate experience while being able to watch them at a great distance.
Now, it's billed as a comedy, but is it a dark comedy?
It is a dark comedy, and also keep in mind that you know, it's an adult comedy. You know, there is some language in there that I would definitely want to say, you know, make sure you're not bringing small children to.
Now, what will be the takeaway for audiences besides a Hollywood-style pool party after the performance?
I think people will walk away with a unique memory.
It's like a good popcorn flick to enjoy that is a theatrical film hybrid.
The NOLA Project's A.J. Allegra, Andrew Larimer, and Natalie Boyd, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The NOLA Project closes its season with Exterior Pool Night at the Aloft Hotel, 225 Barone Street, with performances running through July 31st. Uptown Masno kicks off its 26th New Orleans International Piano Competition and Keyboard Festival at Loyola University. 2014 gold medalist Mariana Przewalskaya will perform the opening concert. We caught up with the pianist by phone in Spain. Mariana, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Diane. It's wonderful to talk to you about music and New Orleans and everything in the musical world.
You know, I was in the audience when you won the gold medal a couple of years ago here in New Orleans. What a fantastic performance.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you.
What are your thoughts as you open for the upcoming competition in regards to young musicians who aspire to follow in your footsteps?
I'm very excited to come back to New Orleans. It's been already 3 times that I've been there, and every time I come back after I won the competition, it's really special because I see people that became my friends and became very supportive. And, of course, every time I come back, I remember the time I won this competition, and then I returned twice to perform with Louisiana Philharmonic, which is an extraordinary experience. This time, as a performer opening the competition, it's a wonderful experience as well, and perhaps even maybe a little bit nervous because all the competitors now will be judging me and saying, like, who is she, the one that got first prize 2 years ago? I will be performing Brahms' Intermezzos Opus 117 and Chopin Cycle of Mazurkas Opus 24 and the Fantasy Opus 49. And what I would like to wish to the competitors is just to think that they are there to create music and enjoy the music they are performing, they are sharing with the audience and with jury members. For me, as a performer, as a competitor, it was really important to focus just on music making and forget about that I'm being judged, not to think whether my performances were pleasant to the jury or not, and how other contestants are doing. That is very distracting to think about these things.
Now, a lot has happened to you in 2 short years, including the release of your new CD, an All Rock Mononoff CD. What attracted you to his works?
It's a composer that talks to my soul, basically. That's how I feel when I play his music. It's basically like breathing. Since I was a child, I always felt that strong personal connection with this composer. And in fact, a particular work that is on the CD is Variations on the Theme of Chopin, was a work I discovered in my 20s, and I thought that I would like to record it someday. And after winning World Piano Competition in Cincinnati in 2013, 1 year before New Orleans, that was the opportunity to record a CD, and then I thought this is exactly perfect timing to record Variations on the Theme of Chopin. So I added Variations on the Theme of Corelli because I was working on that piece at the same time. And it's a CD that I'm pretty happy the way it came out. I had a great team. And the CD was just released in June. It's distributed by Naxos.
Will you perform works from the CD in the New Orleans recital?
Yes, I will be performing in the second half Variations on the Theme of Chopin, Opus 22.
Now, how did the International Piano Competition help to propel your career?
You know, I think New Orleans International Piano Competition is a very unique competition in the United States because it's one of the very few competitions that seriously support their winners. In addition to the prize money, they offer numerous concert engagements, and including chamber music concerts and a recital at Wigmore Hall. I already performed twice with Louisiana Philharmonic Orchestra, and I have concerts coming up with Baton Rouge Symphony and Acadiana Symphony. This is truly amazing work they are doing because very often competition, sometimes they offer just the money or maybe one concert, and nothing else happens. But what I noticed is that the competition was always supporting me, and every time I was given an opportunity to perform. And I created a very lasting bond with the competition, with Masno, and I'm coming back also to play in October and in February. And I think the work they're doing is truly extraordinary to support their winners. Definitely this is the competition that gave me the most performance opportunities than probably than any other I won in my life.
Take us back in time now. Where were you born? Where did you grow up?
I was born in a musical family, Russian parents in old Soviet Union, and I grew up there until I was 10 and moved to Spain with my family. And I studied piano with my mother. Both parents are musicians, and they only asked me if I wanted to play piano or I wanted to play violin. And I picked piano, and I never regretted my choice. And then after being in Spain, I continued my studies in London Royal College of Music. And after that, I already moved to the United States.
I understand you were already performing with an orchestra before the tender age of 10.
Yes. It was the first performance of Mozart's C major concerto when I was 8 years old in Moldavia. In that orchestra, my father also played violin. He was a concertmeister, principal violinist of the.
All of that moving around and experiencing different cultures, does that influence your music?
I absorbed much more from teachers I studied with rather than cultures I was surrounded with, because basically it's the people that you're surrounded by who are creating your life experiences. They influence you more.
Well, we sure are happy to have you back in New Orleans. Tell me, is there anything special you hope to do on this trip to the city in addition to the recital?
I like to go to art galleries a lot and just sightseeing. But I am not sure this time I'll have enough free time to do what I would love to, because there is also a piano institute running at the same time. There will be master classes in the morning and the competition in the afternoon. So most of the time I'll be involved in the competition and the surroundings.
Well, we're looking forward to your arrival. New Orleans International Piano Competition 2014 gold medalist Mariana Przewalskaja. Thanks for talking with me.
Thank you very much, Diane. It's a pleasure.
Pianist Mariana Przewalskaja will perform on Sunday at 4 p.m. in Roussel Hall at Loyola University. Her new CD is Przewalskaja Plays Rachmaninoff. More information on the piano competition and keyboard festival is available at masno.org. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. The New Orleans Shakespeare Festival at Tulane rounds out its season in a magician's cave with Tony Kushner's The Illusion, an adaptation of Pierre Corneille's Baroque masterpiece, L'Illusion Comique. Joining me to talk about this work that dates back to the 17th century is director Chaney Tullis and actress Christine McMurdo Wallace. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hi.
How did you come to choose a work not written by Shakespeare to close your season?
Like most Shakespeare festivals, we do classical works of all kinds, not just Shakespeare. You know, we try to diversify our portfolio. And so we thought it fit really nicely, especially because it was written by Tony Kushner, who is a Louisiana native. He grew up in Lake Charles, Louisiana. I think it's a beautiful adaptation. And the language is just so rich. He's known for making words dance.
So this is a work involving fantasy, magic, and witchcraft. Why do we find ourselves in a cave? What's the storyline?
Prédemont is a father who is estranged from his son. When his son was about 17, he, in the middle of the night, packed a bag and stole a bunch of jewels and took off. And Prédemont has not been able to find his son for 15 years. Prédemont is at the point where he thinks his life is nearing its end and he wants to reconcile with his son, but no one has been able to find this young man. So a last-ditch effort, he walks into this cave. The magician Alcandra, played by Christine, and she is, in fact, able to help him. But things are not as they appear.
So, Christine, you're the sorceress.
I am the sorceress.
How challenging is that role?
It's wonderful because she's big, she's open, she's magic. But she's no nonsense either. She doesn't let Prédemont get away with lying, with covering up his feelings. She brings it all out. So it's just lovely.
How does the story unfold on stage?
Well, I tell him I will show him his son's life up to this point, and how it ends I cannot say. And I show him these three different vignettes of his son. And in each vignette, he's a different character. He has a different name, which Prédemont takes great umbrage at.
Ultimately, it's a story about love. Of course, the love between a father and his son, but you'll see once the vignettes unfold, you learn quickly that this is Kushner commenting on romantic love as well. All types of love.
Yes.
All types of love.
And about relationships between parents, between lovers. It's very good.
And there's a certain amount of disillusionment involved there?
Yes, there is. And there are a lot of twists. I think what it will do every once in a while is make the audience go, huh? Because it's got surprises in it.
It's also really, really funny.
Yes.
It's obvious that Tony Kushner has a great sense of humor.
How much does this veer from the original?
Quite a bit, actually. In fact, Tony Kushner says it's freely adapted, and it's very freely adapted. In the original, there are only two vignettes. This one has three. Tony Kushner added a vignette. And he based it on an old Spanish play, but essentially the message is the same, but the presentation is a little bit different. There are characters that appear in this one that aren't in the other, and vice versa. I reached out to Tony Kushner and asked if he would be willing to chat with us and do an interview for this production. And to my amazement, he agreed very quickly. And so we spoke about a week ago on the phone. he was fantastic, but he told us this great story about the original production at Hartford Stage. They were having terrible issues. The leading man broke his foot, I believe, and so was doing sword fights on a crutch. One of the actors could not remember his lines. And Tony, he was commissioned to do this work. It was a big deal for him. And so he'd sent a poster to his father in Lake Charles. And he called his dad and said, "Dad, we're having terrible issues." And his dad said, "Well, I'm looking at the poster, and I notice you put your name above Pierre Corneille's. You think maybe you upset him a little bit?" And Tony said, "I'm not a superstitious guy, but I told the director, Mark Lamos, and Mark is superstitious." And he said, "We have to fix this." They went and they redid all the posters so that it was by Pierre Corneille, adapted by Tony Kushner. So Tony Kushner's name was under Corneille's. And then they did a ceremony in the theater where they made Tony spin around. You know, you're not supposed to say Macbeth in a theater, and they have all these superstitions. You're supposed to knock, go outside and knock. They made him do all that. They burned sage. And Tony said, "You know, I did it just to appease the company." But the next day, we had a preview, and it was perfect. He said the actor who was on crutches showed up in a walking boot, and we were able to mask it. Everyone knew their lines. We got a standing ovation. He said, "But I walked outside, and on the marquee they had in those magnetic letters, they changed it, and my name was at the bottom, but the E and the R had fallen off." And he said, "I felt like it was Corneille's last dig at me."
What a story. Now, will audiences question or think differently about family issues and love after seeing this production?
Yes, I think so. But it's not a play that just hits you over the head that makes you sit there and think, "How horrible a person I am. I see pieces of myself in that. Oh, how could I? How could I?" I think it's one of those things that you may go out and a day later sort of go, "Oh, I see what they're talking about." Or else they'll just sit and enjoy it and laugh and have a good time.
Yeah, I think there are many, many layers to this play. I think everyone will walk out of the theater having had a great experience. Hopefully some people will come back and they'll pick up on things that they did the first time. Because it's about humans and relationships, right? And of course, those are always complicated. It's a roller coaster ride.
Janie Tullis and Christine McMurdo Wallace with the New Orleans Shakespeare Festival at Tulane. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Tony Kushner's The Illusion opens Saturday with performances running through August 6th in the Lupin Theater at Tulane University. More info at NewOrleansShakespeare.org. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.